Of the book of Judges, and that is where we'll start our reading. I want you to turn there, but while you're turning there, I have something I would like to read, and it's typically not something that I do. It's actually a song, and I'm not going to sing it. I think it will have the Lord laid this on my heart to read this to you, and I think it will fit along with our lesson if the Lord will help us this morning. Most of you all would know the song. It's, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. It says, I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And the second verse says, I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And the chorus says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And if we could take for a lesson title this morning, it would be Without You Holding My Hand. The thought that's upon our heart is something that I'm sure is something we all need. I have needed it this week. If it doesn't help a soul this morning, it has helped me. It has encouraged me. It has given me a lot of hope. You know, we live in a world today where people don't like to be dependent on anybody else. I'm a pretty independent person. I like to be able to do things on my own. I actually got in trouble by a few people down here a few weeks ago for leaving my Bible and not calling them and asking them to get it. I drove all the way back from home to see if my Bible was here. And they kept saying, well, you know that you could have called us. And I said, I know I could have, but I'm hard-headed and I like to do things on my own. I'm independent. I do that. That's how I operate. I've always been that way. But I find myself this morning in need of something far greater than just myself. You know, living in this world is hard enough by yourself, but having to go through the troubles and trials that life throws at us is really hard when we don't have somebody to lean on. And I'm going to say this morning that I can't walk anywhere without the Lord holding my hand. He has to go with me everywhere that I go because He's the one that helps me. He's a very present help in a very troublesome time that we live in. And I'm glad He's the one that holds my hand. I'm glad I can't do it on my own. I'm glad I need somebody this morning. And I'm glad I have Him this morning. I'm glad to know that I have the Lord that goes with me. Amen. The 15th, we'll start with the 9th verse, I guess. The 9th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. And it says this, And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah the servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers from multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay long. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the word of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all of the host. It says, And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me. And do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp. in the beginning of the middle watch. And they that had but newly set the watch and blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in the hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled. And that would be our reading this morning without reading all of that verse of Scripture. I thought about this this morning, and I thought about what was taking place here. Most of you all have heard me say this a few times, but I am a lot like Gideon. I am very much a Gideon in this world because I live in a, as I've told you, a very independent way of life. I like to do things on my own. And I want you to understand something about Gideon this morning. Gideon was one that was supposed to lead this Israel to the war with the Midianites. And you've got to realize something about the Midianites. They were a very, very, very big army. It says here that their army was like a grasshopper and their camels were likened to multitudes. So you think about this morning going up against a great army, and you've got Gideon, one person that the Lord spoke to him, and there was an angel of the Lord over in the very next chapter, the first chapter or the sixth chapter there. And he was under a tree, and as Gideon came by, he told Gideon, he said, "Thou mighty man of valor, you shall be the one that will lead the children of Israel, the army of Israel." And Gideon, being who he was, said, "Not me, I'm not going to do that." Gideon knew very well that he had no way of being able to take this army and turning it against the Midianites. The Midianites were a vast, vast powerhouse in this time period. And so Gideon begins to talk with the Lord, and Gideon begins to reason with the Lord. And finally, Gideon says, and he gets kind of willing to do it. He realizes that it's probably his work that needs to be done. And Gideon is told, he says, "You go over there to your father's altars and you rip them down." And Joash was Gideon's father. And Joash had built altars to Baal, which was a pagan god then. And you think about Gideon being Joash's son, having to go and tear down his father's altars and do those things in spite of his father. And I want you to know this morning, there's no way that I would have been able to go against my father. That would have been something extremely hard, but Gideon did it. And they were calling for Gideon's head. They wanted him to die, those that were there. But guess what? Gideon escaped that. Gideon got through there, and the Lord told Gideon, he said, "You get an army together, and you'll be the one that goes against the Midianites." And again, Gideon still didn't believe the Lord. He still didn't take the Lord's word and run with it. He still didn't take it and say, "Lord, you've told me this. Now I'm going to do what you've asked me to do." I'm very much a Gideon. God can tell me 100 times in 100 different ways, and sometimes I still don't get the picture of what He wants for me to do. He tells me very clearly. He lets me know very much what I'm supposed to be doing. And I still don't give Him the time of day. I still just say, "Well, Lord, are You sure? Do You really want me to do this?" You've heard me tell about my calling to preach. I ran for a long time saying, "Lord, are You sure that You want me to preach?" And He'd let me know, "Yes, I want you to preach." And I'd say, "Well, not me, Lord. I'm not going to." Much is the same way that Gideon told the Lord. He said, "I'm not going to do this." And so we get down to the fleece of wool, and we know that the Lord showed Gideon just exactly what Gideon wanted to see. And so Gideon gets willing, and he gets together this great army. It says it's 22,000 or maybe 30,000 that were there. Now that sounds like a lot of people. I think a 30,000 man army would be a pretty good army to go up against the Midianites. But the Lord says, "No, Gideon, you're going to have to cut it down some. We're not going with 30,000 men."
So the Lord tells him, he says, you go down to this pond, this creek, and you have the men go down and get a drink of water. And those that lap like dogs, those are the men that you take. So we go from this great multitude down to 300 men. And then you think about what Gideon must have thought. Lord, you have told me that I've got to go up against the Midianites, this great army, and now all you've given me is 300 men. I'm going to tell you, that would break my faith a lot. It would. Because you've got a great army, no doubt, with the best artillery that there ever has been in this time period. Now, they didn't have tanks and things like that, but they had things that no doubt could decimate Gideon's army. But what is the underlying thing through all of this? God said that I will deliver it into your hand. If you'll do this, Gideon, if you'll follow me, I will do this. And you have to do it in the way that I want you to do it. And so Gideon takes these 300 men. He selects the army. And then even through all of this, Gideon still says, well, Lord, are you sure? So Gideon goes, and the 9th verse down through, I believe, the 14th verse is Gideon going and spying on the Midianite camp and seeing what they're saying about it. And you know what God revealed to those men? That Gideon would overtake them. He let them know. He gave them an idea that Gideon was coming for them, and because of Gideon's God, they would lose. Now surely, surely, that would make Gideon be willing to do it. Well, it did. The 15th verse, and it says, and it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, that he and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, and returned into the host of Israel, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. So we've got 300 men here. And then Gideon goes and he tells them, he says, you split them up. So he takes three companies of men, 100 each. And we've got the valley of Jezreel here. And you go and you take Gideon's army, and they begin to circle the place that the Midianites are in. 300 men up against a great army. Now what are the odds that this army wins? What are the odds that Israel comes out the victor this time? God had been with Israel through everything. God had been through Israel when they didn't want Him. And He would be with Israel from then on out, even when they rejected Him. But here we have the 300 men. And we've got the great army. And you know what? The only things that they had, trumpets, pitchers, and lamps. Now you hand people that today, if you told us today that we had to go out and fight an army with trumpets, pitchers, and lamps, we'd probably laugh. Brothers and sisters, they should not have won this battle. But you want to know what took place here? There were 300 up against the Midianites. But I want to say today, when they began to encircle that Midianite camp, no doubt it sounded like a whole lot more people than there were. Gideon says, on my count, you shout, for the sword of the Lord is with Gideon, or the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And he says, you take the trumpets and you blow them, and you break your pitchers and your lamps, and you go fighting. Well, guess what? On Gideon's count, they yelled, for the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They did that. And then they began to blow the trumpets and break the pitchers and break the lamps. And it made the Midianites flee. They ran from Gideon and that 300-person army. Why is that? Because somebody more powerful was with Gideon's army, with Gideon, than there ever had been with the Midianites. I'm going to say today, it's a lot like how you and I are. Sometimes we look around and we think, there's no hope. We look around in our lives and everybody else is gone. And it looks like it's just us. But there's always somebody that goes before us and is with us through everything. everything. The same one that I read the song about, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. It's the same God that helped Gideon win this battle. And guess what? They never had to fight. All they had to do was go. And when they got there, God did the rest. That's hard to do in our minds sometimes. That's hard to imagine, that when God says move, when God says go, that He'll take care of the rest. But He's the one that holds my hand. He's the one that helps me. When I can't help myself, He's the one that took trumpets, pitchers, and lamps and beat a vast army when there should have been no way for this army to have won. I want to read for some verses of Scripture over in the book of Deuteronomy and the 8th chapter. You know, as I thought about Gideon, I guess if he would be here today, he would let us know that God was with him. And I believe that God is with us today. I believe He's the same God then as He is right now. I believe that. More than anything, I believe the same God that helped Gideon is the same God that goes with us today. Deuteronomy in the 8th chapter says this in the 17th verse. And Moses was writing this. This was one of his last writings to those children of Israel. And he had written to them, and he probably could look out and see that they had had a lot of problems since they'd been together. They had the golden calf, turned away from God, basically just looked in His face and said, "We've got this and we don't need you." And so that made God mad, and He really got with Israelite people. And down toward the end of Moses' life, I believe he wanted to leave them a little word of encouragement, a little thing that would say, guess what? You've got to keep going. But don't forget who has been with you. The 17th verse of the 8th chapter says this, "And thou say in mine heart, my power and thy might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto the fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." Now that sounded pretty harsh coming from Moses, but I believe it was very good instructions for this people. Because if we look at how they had been so far, boy, they hadn't kept up their end of the bargain very much. They hadn't been the obedient people that they should have been. And He says, don't you forget the one that has helped you. You may have all of these things, but don't forget the one that gave them to you. Don't forget the one that has been with you all of this time. Because in the day that you do that, ye shall perish. And I'm thankful today that God will not let us get outside the bounds of His grace. Now, what does that mean, preacher? It means we're not going to lose our salvation if we backslide. No, no, no. But I'm going to tell you today, it's a whole lot easier to walk with the Lord daily as we go than to be far away from Him and not have any connection or relationship with Him other than just being a saved child of God. It says, do not forget the one that has given you all of these things. You know, sometimes being independent, sometimes I realize or I think that I've done all of this. But when I look around, you know who's been the one that has done it all? It's the Lord. Every good thing that I have, my salvation, everything belongs to the Lord. Even standing behind this sacred desk, it belongs to the Lord. The preaching of the gospel, it belongs to God. Preaching is not of me. Preaching is of the Lord. And if it ever gets to the point where it becomes about me, then you all need to find somebody else to stand behind this desk and preach the true counsel of God. We must always remember who is the one that has helped us. I thought about Jonah a lot this week. And you think about the trouble that he got in. I've spoken about him before. You know, Jonah was told by the Lord, He says, you go to Nineveh and you preach to those people. And Jonah, being who he was, said, not me. Not going. He jumps on a boat to Tarshish, and while he's out at sea, a great storm comes up. And the men began to get very scared that were on there. They began to get very worried. They said they rowed as much as they could, but they could not get to shore. I imagine this was probably a very great storm that was taking place. Oh, I imagine this a lot to my life. God sends storms sometimes. Sometimes God sends valleys. Sometimes God sends trials, heartaches, tribulations. But guess what? That doesn't mean He's forgotten about us. As I told you in the song that I read, He's the one that holds my hand, and without Him I can't walk. So the same one that has sent the valley, the same one that has sent the storm, has the ability to take care of everything, just as the storm that Jonah was facing. Now, the men began to ask. They began to ask, well, why is this thing happening to us? What have we done? And they began to look at Jonah, and Jonah said, it's me. I'm running from God, basically, is what he told them. And he says, you just cast me overboard, and you all will be all right. You all just take me and toss me on overboard, and you'll be spared. Guess what they did? I imagine they took him and they just plopped him right on off in the ocean. And the Bible says that the Lord created a great fish. Doesn't say a whale. I imagine that it probably was. But there is a great fish that came and swallowed Jonah. And I'm going to tell you to this morning, there would be nothing more humbling than that, I don't believe. Can you just imagine of being swallowed by this fish and believing that was it? But you want to know what happened to old Jonah? Jonah, in the midst of all of that, he became willing. Jonah became willing to do what God had asked him. And you know where Jonah ended up? Over there in Nineveh. And he got there probably quicker than if he just went himself. So he got there. The same one that went with Jonah is the same one that goes with us. Now I'm going to tell you, Jonah got mad. Jonah preached to those that were there in Nineveh, and a lot of people got saved because of Jonah's preaching. And he was still mad about it. But God didn't fall out with Jonah. God didn't take Jonah out and cast him off another boat. God helped Jonah to realize that he was working for him. I'm going to say this morning, and it may not be the most pleasant thought. To me it is. But I serve at the Lord's pleasure. If you are around many government officials, and especially the President of the United States, those that serve under Him, they serve at His pleasure. They do what He asks. I serve at the Lord's pleasure this morning. Anything that He wants, I'm supposed to be willing to do and go. Why? Because He's the one that's holding my hand. He's the one that helps me. He's the one that saved me. And guess what? He's the one with all of the power. In my own self, I have no power to do anything without Him. Thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Old Nebuchadnezzar, while he had created this golden image, and he made a decree that everybody had to bow to this golden image. And he says, if you don't, you're going to be cast into a furnace. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guess what? They weren't going to bow to this golden idol. They decided they were going to serve God even in the midst of all of that. Well, true to form, here comes Nebuchadnezzar, and guess what? Says they tossed them in that furnace, and they made it 70 times, for one of those numbers, hotter than it ever had been before. I imagine when they opened that door, whoever was tossing them in there probably got burnt themselves. If you think about that this morning, all three of them should have been burned almost instantly. That's not what happened. Those that were around there, they said, we see four men walking round in one like the Son of God. Now you tell me this morning that God does not go with His people. God goes everywhere that we go. Because He's the one that's holding my hand. And I'm supposed to go everywhere that He goes. Wherever that He wants me, wherever He wants you is where that we are supposed to be. Right in the center of God's will is where I want to be. And I believe that God wants all of us to be right in the center of His will. You know, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, they were doing just exactly what I believe God wanted them to do. Follow Him. Make Him the God of your life. I'm going to say this morning. I don't know who you're depending on this morning. I don't. I depend a lot on my family. I love them. They mean a lot to me. My granddad, before he retired, I don't know how we ever got anything done, especially when it came to getting an oil change with your car. He takes all of them down to the dealership and gets an oil change. We depend on him to help us. But there's going to come a time when depending on him won't work anymore. There's going to come a time when earthly people, they'll pass away and our dependence on them, they'll pass away. You know, husbands and wives, they depend a lot on each other to help them, to be there with them. You know, in the vows it says that they'll be with each other even until death do they part. They obviously depend on each other. Sometimes they're going to fail you. Your friends, sometimes they're going to fail you. They will not always be there for you. I've got a lot of friends that I love dearly, and I know if I called them that they would be there. But I've never had anybody that cared for me quite like the Lord does. Never had anybody that was there for me like the Lord is. Everybody in here has had a set of parents at some point. All have. Some of them have passed. Some of them we still have. Some of them are nearing that time when they shall pass. We've all depended on them for something. But our dependency on them will someday come to an end. And you know, as you get to a certain point in life, they almost wrap around and they become dependent on you. We're always depending on someone or something. You know, people are depending on things this morning. They're depending on things of this life to help them. I depend on my car a whole lot, but I could go out there this afternoon and it be as dead as the day is long. I can't place my dependence in things of this world. They won't work. Everything that is here shall pass away. But the Bible says that His words, God's words, they shall not pass away. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the one that holds my hand will not pass away. I remember, and you may remember this too, you may have had these times when you were young. And I remember it vividly, starting the second grade, I believe. And I was always, always, always scared to start a new school year. Scared me to death. I mean, it just made me to the point I was a nervous wreck. And I had one of the nicest teachers. Her name was Miss Stacy Logan. She was a wonderful woman, sweet as she could be. Oh, and we walked into school and she made us... I'm got ahead of myself. Walking into school, always the first day up into like grade 5 or 6, and we thought we were too cool to have Mom and Dad go with us. Mom would always walk me in. She'd always go with me to make me feel like I had somebody that was there with me. And I remember holding her hand as we walked into school, and I actually got sick on the sidewalk. I was scared to death. I felt like I had nobody that would be there for me. You know, I was going to a place that I had never been before. But I knew as long as she was there that I'd be all right. And she took me in there and I met the teacher, and I believe we probably had a great day. I don't know. I love that woman. Sweet lady. Still friends with her to this day. But I didn't feel like I could depend on anybody like I could her at that moment. I'm going to say today there's a lot of times that we feel like there's nobody to depend on. But you want to know who holds our hand? The Lord does. The Lord is always there. Those times when we're going new places and we're doing new things, guess who's holding our hand? The Lord is. The Lord has been with me through everything that I've ever been through. I'll say this today. When I was lost, He was there. I was not kept by His marvelous, amazing grace. Oh, but He still was there. And I'm going to say today, if you're lost and if you're saved, we all better depend on the Lord. Because in the end, it won't matter what you've done, what I've done, who you know, what you've done. It's going to matter whether you know Him or not. There's nobody else. You know, I didn't think I would use these scriptures this morning. But over in 1 Corinthians, and I believe it's in the first chapter. See, the 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, or 2 Corinthians in the first chapter. But Paul tells those that are at Corinth, he says there was contention in the church. There were some that, you know, thought their baptism meant more because of who they were baptized by. Some said, I'm baptized of Cephas. Some says, I'm baptized by Paul. Some says, I'm baptized by Apollos. But Paul told them this: I thank God that He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the Word of God. I came not to baptize not one person. I came to tell you about the person you need to be baptized into. I came not to preach myself or the things of my righteousness, but I came to preach the one and tell you about the one that could help you through anything. I'm going to say this today. There's not a one of us that have ever just had a perfect life. You know, other than Jesus, He was the one. And He suffered persecution. Oh, He suffered persecution. I heard a song this week, and it was Love Is Why. It said He never suffered a life without care. He had a lot of care when He went to this world. You know, I'll say this today. No doubt. Never read John in 17. When you get over there, the Lord Jesus Christ probably thought, there's nobody here to help me. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to go read it. He says, Father, not my will, but Thine be done. Father, not me. If you can find somebody else, please do it. When He hung on the cross, I imagine that was a very lonely feeling. But you want to know who holds our hands even today? You know, I believe the Lord was with Him. He looked up and He cried, Why hast Thou forsaken me, Father? You know, no doubt for God that had to have been a very hard thing to endure. To see His Son look up and say, Why have You forsaken me? But it was the way that it had to be. Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary for every single one of us. He probably felt like there was nobody to hold His hand. You know, I'm a little too old now to walk into my college classes with my mother strapped to my hand. I wouldn't do it, and I don't think she'd do it either. She probably would to embarrass me if she thought she'd get away with it. But I'm telling you today that through the darkest, deepest points in my life, the Lord has held my hand. There's going to be a lot of days, every single one of us, I have never had children, I have never been married, I have never done those things. But there are going to be times, probably raising children, that it's got to be the hardest thing that you've ever done, because you love those children, you love those kids. I have been a kid, I have been someone's son, so I know the love that is passed between parents and children. There's got to be a sense of urgency to watch over them and protect them and care for them. But guess what? There's someone that can watch over them and protect them and care for them more than they or you ever could. And that's the Lord Himself. I'll tell you this morning, and I'm going to try to close. Take your burdens, take your cares, take everything to the foot of the cross. Sometimes you have to take it there and you have to leave it there. And if you're anything like me, as you're stepping away from praying and asking the Lord to help you, you're turning around and you're saying, "Now Lord, make sure you watch that. Make sure you take care of it. Lord, that's precious to me. Make sure you take care of it." And we're walking away and we're still watching to make sure He's still got a hold of it. God is the one that holds my hand. He's the one that gave it to me. Everything that's mine belongs to Him. I want to leave you with this thought. Those trumpets, pitchers, and lamps that Gideon's army had, they didn't even need those. Sometimes we feel like we're not armed adequately to fight life's battles. I know I do. Sometimes things come my way and I think, "Lord, I don't even know how to deal with this at the moment. I don't even know what to do with this." This last week I had something that came up and I thought, "Lord, I am trying the very best that I know how. Lord, I'm trying to work for You and You're sending me these things. You're sending me these trials. I'm trying." And this is when this sermon came to me. "I'm the one that holds Your hand. You just leave alone and I'll take care of it." Brothers and sisters, let God take care of us. He wants to. He wants to be our very present help in a time of trouble. I look for my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. That's the Lord. I don't know what you may be struggling with. I don't know. You know, I don't have the ability to look inside your hearts and your minds and things like that to know what burdens and breaks your heart. I don't know what you struggle with. You don't know what I struggle with. We all struggle with something. Every single one of us, whether you want to admit it to yourself or not, you struggle with something. You may not admit it to me and you don't have to, but God knows what we struggle with. And He's the one that can help us with it. Gideon no doubt struggled with having to go over there to the Midianites and say, and go over there and beat them. "I wish I had the ability to show you the map in my Bible where they went over there and fought, because they just encircled them." No doubt Gideon struggled with that. But I believe he took the Lord very seriously when he let him know he was going to take care of it. So I'm asking you all today, I don't know where you stand with the Lord. If you're lost, in order to be truly dependent on the Lord, you've got to be saved. Without that, you cannot depend on God like I can. If you're lost, you need to be saved. If there's something in your life you're struggling with, something that's just too hard to bear, you need to take it to the Lord. I'm going to say this, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. And we're going to have an invitational. This altar's open for lost, saved, anybody. You know, there's a lot of times we think that this place is just for lost people. People go to the altar and they'll say, "Well, I wonder if they were lost." And we know that they have a testimony. I can't look in your hearts. Sometimes people get confused and they have to go back. But sometimes we just need to go to the altar and say, "Lord, I'm here. Lord, I need Your help. Lord, use me. Lord, take what's hurting me away." You don't have to come to the altar. You don't have to do that. But if the Lord wants you to come to this altar and pray, please be willing to do that. If He wants you to stay in your seat and pray, whatever God wants for you to do, please do that. But I'm going to ask you today, we're going to have prayer after we have this song. And I urge every single one of us to put our trust in the Lord. Saved people, when we got saved, we had to put our trust in the Lord. But you know, over time, sometimes we take it back out and say, "Lord, I got to have that back." Put your trust in Him today. "For I can't even walk without You holding my hand." May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand, while we sing, this altar is open. Just follow the Lord.